Let's take our Bibles this morning, though, and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Going to look at the very end of the chapter this morning. We've been reading verses 32 to 34. Last week we read the beginning of verse 35, but this morning we're going to begin with verse 35 and go down to the end of the chapter. The last 6 months we've been looking at this great chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, and we've talked about faith and the people who expressed that faith and what was accomplished by it. As we saw again last week, many amazing things have taken place through faith and those who have employed faith in their lives. Last week we mentioned in generalization some things that took place by faith. Kingdoms were subdued. Righteousness was wrought. Promises were obtained. The mouths of lions were stopped. The fire was quenched and the edge of the sword was escaped. And strength came from weakness. And the last verse that we'll begin with this morning says also that children were raised to life. Women received their children raised to life again. And if we left off the reading of Hebrews chapter 11 there, we would seem to think that every time we express faith in God, that amazing things take place and everything turns out rosy. Because all the things that we've looked at have been amazing, awesome things. And we say, that is great, that's fantastic. So all I need to do is trust God and He'll turn everything around and boom, everything will just be fantastic in my life again. We may just think that that's the case, and then we may think in our own lives that maybe when we think we're trusting God and it doesn't turn out that way, that we haven't had enough faith or we've just, fallen short in some way. But this morning we're going to look at the last few verses of the chapter and we'll see some things that took place according to what God says by faith that we would say, okay, that took faith. And although the things that we've looked at we say are amazing things and we'd like to dwell on those things and say, I'd like those things to take place in my life every time I trust God, I believe that the things that we will look at this morning are not just amazing accomplishments of faith, but rather, perhaps even more, we would say, incredible accomplishments of faith. And so we're going to look at our verses here in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Did you notice what those things were accomplished that we read there this morning? It says that they were accomplished by faith. May I present to you again this morning that these are some incredible accomplishments of faith. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again that we can look at your word this morning and we've been thrilled to see the exciting things that have taken place down through history as men and women have placed their faith and trust in you and, Lord, have seen you interact and intervene on their behalf and do some fantastic things. Some things that have amazed us and things that we read about and we just say, that is what an amazing God we serve. And yet this morning we come to a portion of Scripture and, Lord, we look at some things that your Word tells us were accomplished by faith. And, Lord, we may not want to have our part in those things quite so readily, but we're thankful that faith, the same faith that enabled great things to be accomplished, is also that faith that enables incredible things to be accomplished when circumstances in our life don't turn about as we would desire them to do. And so I pray that this morning you speak to each one of our hearts, that we would be encouraged and strengthened in our faith this morning, that we would be ready to trust you and see you do great things in our life, or trust you to see you help us through some difficult circumstances in our life, as was the case this morning. But Lord, may our faith in you be without wavering, because we know that you are faithful who has promised. And so speak to us, I pray, according to the need of our life this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, we know that there is a move afoot in Christianity today that says if you trust God and live right, that everything will turn out right and everything will be great and your life will be rosy and all things will be great and everything will be sunshine and roses every day. But God never promised that. God did promise that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And He says our faith in Him is never wanting. It's never lacking. It's never missed. It's never overseen. He always sees our faith. But the reality of life is that sometimes Christians are afflicted with illness. And some of Christians never receive healing in this life. See, the thing is, this life isn't heaven, is it? This life is still earth. This life is still this life that we live in, a world that's tainted by sin. And although we would love every time we trust God to do a miraculous thing in our life, that would take place and things would just be wonderful, health would be regained and finances would be replaced and all those things, according to what we read this morning, that doesn't happen. And in some circles of what is preached today in the name of Christianity, some of the people who are discussed and referred to in the verses that we just read this morning would be looked at by people today and say there was a problem in their life. They didn't trust God. But God says that they went through those things by faith, the same faith that parted the Red Sea, the same faith that moves mountains, the same faith that caused a 100-year-old man to be able to have a child, the same faith that defeated the enemy many times. It took faith to endure those things in their life, and their faith was no less than the faith of those who saw great things accomplished. And as we've already seen, it was an incredible expression of faith to carry on trusting God during those circumstances and situations. Mindful of the words of Job, who said in Job 13, verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job didn't have any illusions to the fact that, you know, he could trust God and God could still say, "Job, your life is going to remain, your life is not going to turn around." Now in Job's life, things did turn around. I'm almost there in my reading of Job, in reading through the book of Job as I have been these last couple of weeks. But I'm excited at the end of Job. But that Job said, even if that doesn't happen, what did happen, I'm still going to trust in God. May God speak to our hearts today as we look at these incredible accomplishments of faith. You see, faith isn't an easy out. Faith may sometimes be a most difficult path. And yet, as we've looked at it, and we'll look at it this morning, it's still a most rewarding choice. Verse 35 in our text says that others were tortured. Through faith, it begins in verse 33, and those things that took place, and he says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. The word for tortured here means to stretch out an instrument of torture resembling a drum and thus beat to death. It's not a nice thing to think about. We don't get far into the Bible or into history before we realize that there were some who lived by faith whose lives were taken or who received some very terrible things take place in their life. Matter of fact, we just get to Genesis chapter 4, and we find a man who's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 here near the beginning of the chapter, named Abel. And God says that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. But what happened to Abel as a result of offering that excellent sacrifice to God? His brother slew him. But Abel's life was lived by faith. We find that Jesus gives us a parable in Mark chapter number 12, verses 1 to 9, and he speaks, it's the parable of the vineyard and the laborers in the vineyard, and it's referring back to what has taken place down through history. And Jesus said that about the man who had a vineyard, and he let it out to others, and then he sent people to get the fruit from that vineyard. And those people who were sent to get the fruit, some of them were killed, some of them were beaten, some of them were sent away shamefully treated. He's referring to what's taken place in this world. And he's referring to the prophets who came and preached against the sin that was going on in the world. And rather than respond positively, the people of this world said, we don't want any of that. And they tortured or beat or whatever the prophets who preached that message to them. And so we know that that's taken place down through history. Of course, Jesus himself was beaten. He was crucified. Remember Isaiah 43? God says, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. He doesn't say if, he says when. The Bible says that they were tortured, and yet it was by faith. Not by the faith of those torturing them, but by faith. Those who were tortured endured that by faith. The Bible says not accepting deliverance. I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. I don't like discomfort. I don't like to be made fun of or mocked and those kind of things. And if there's a way out of that, I think many times we would say, yeah, I would choose not to suffer through those things. But did you see what the Bible says? They didn't accept deliverance. See, these were people who were being tortured for their faith and offered the opportunity to deny their faith and be freed of the torture and the unpleasant treatment. They said, no, I will not deny my faith. And therefore we recognize that it was by faith that they were tortured. By faith, trusting God. Remember those three Hebrew children we talked about last week? He said, but they escaped the fiery furnace. They came out alive. Yes, they did. But do you remember what they said to the king? They said to the king, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, we're still not going to deny him. Their faith didn't depend on God delivering them. Their faith said, I am going to trust God even if he lets us die in the flames. But we're not going to deny our faith. They didn't accept deliverance. The king gave them another chance. He said, listen, maybe you didn't hear the trumpets. Maybe you didn't get the message. Maybe you didn't get the memo, but you're supposed to bow down. They said, we know you're supposed to, but we are not going to because we're going to worship our God. They didn't accept deliverance. Their faith was in God and in the fact that this life is not all there is. They said, we're going to stand before God one day and we're not going to deny our faith. They looked for a better country, as Hebrews chapter 11 mentioned to us in verses 13 to 16. The apostles were beaten and threatened not to speak in Jesus' name in Acts chapter 4 verse 20. Now if they'd have left that council and said, okay, listen, I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to suffer any torture, so therefore let's just be quiet. They would have accepted deliverance. They wouldn't have been treated wrongly, badly. But what did they say? They said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. If it's right in the sight of God to obey men rather than him, judge you, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They didn't accept deliverance because accepting deliverance would have meant denying their Lord. And believers down through history have been offered freedom if they would deny their faith, but they've refused, trusting God rather by faith. See, faith doesn't guarantee an easy passage. God just says, I will be with thee. And these chose that path. It goes on to say in verse number 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. Some not only faced torture in the sense of what we've looked at about torture, but also trials, bonds, imprisonment, scourgings. The trials listed were not fair trials. They weren't to try them for a crime that they had really committed, but they were cruel, trial of cruel mockings. They were made fun of. They were laughed at. Back in 1 Kings 22, Micaiah was a prophet of the Lord. He was a faithful prophet, and Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat to go with him to battle. And Ahab said, hey, Jehoshaphat, will you come with me and help me, help us fight against the enemy? And Jehoshaphat said, I'll come with you, but listen, I want to hear what God says about this matter. So Ahab invites all these prophets that were lying prophets on the king's payroll, kind of as it were, and they would just say whatever the king wanted them to say. And they said all their peace and said, oh yeah, it's going to be a great battle. We're going to win and then this is fine. The Lord is in this. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of him? And Ahab said, well, there is one, but I don't like him. Because he never said anything nice about me. Everything he says is always bad, and I don't really like him. But Jehoshaphat said, let's hear what he has to say. And they went and got Micaiah from prison where he was, and they told him on the way, they said, listen, all the other prophets have said good things. Can you just agree with them? Can you just go along with this and just, you know, make everybody's day happy here? And Micaiah said, I'm going to tell what the Lord wants me to tell. And he came and he spoke what God wanted him to say. At first, he sarcastically said, sure, yeah, everything's going to be fine. And Ahab said, listen, tell us really. He knew he wasn't telling the truth. He was just joking around as if we're not joking, but sarcastically joining in. And so he said, listen, this is what God said. God says this isn't right. You know what happened? That man got smote on the face. Why? Because he stood by faith for what God said. He didn't go along with the program. He was sent back to prison. We read about Jeremiah. He was falsely accused of being a traitor for speaking the truth, for prophesying in God's name. He was put in prison. He was put in a prison in chapter 38 of Jeremiah that was a muddy dungeon where he sunk into the mire. Say, Jeremiah, why? Because he said, I got to speak what God wants me to speak. I'm preaching the truth. I'm not accepting deliverance. What about our Savior who was clothed in purple, who had that crown of thorns placed upon his head instead of a right crown that should have been? And then they beat him and they made fun of him and they mocked him. See, and our Lord, the epitome of that standing for righteousness and truth. They said, we're not going to back down on what God wants us to do. False witnesses were brought against the Lord because that's the only kind of witness they could bring that would speak anything against Him. His trials were cruel mockings, yet He suffered them for us. Paul and Silas were unjustly beaten and imprisoned for delivering a woman from Satan's oppression. See, the Bible says that by faith, they endured these things. It doesn't get any better in verse 37. It says they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Stoned, sawn asunder, and slain with the sword. Stoned, of course, is death by having stones thrown at you, rocks thrown upon you. In 2 Chronicles 24, we find that Zechariah was killed in this manner for preaching to the king and to the princes of Judah. But yet by faith, what did he say? He said, the Lord look upon it and require it. I'm not going to back down, but the Lord look upon it and require it. Stephen was stoned to death as Saul, who was later, of course, Paul, and was marvelously converted. But Stephen was stoned to death. And what was he doing as he died? He was calling on the Lord, saying, Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to their charge and receive my spirit. He wouldn't back down from his faith. He trusted the Lord throughout it. Later, as Paul was converted and became a follower of Christ and a great preacher of the gospel, he was stoned and left for dead. But he didn't back down. He trusted God. He said, my faith is in God and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Some, the Bible says, were sawn asunder. That's speaking of being put in between a piece of wood and sawn like a tree. Cut with a saw. It's not recorded in the scripture, but they believe that Isaiah was killed that way by Manasseh, who until the very end of his life lived a very wicked life. But Isaiah didn't back down. He kept living for and preaching for His Lord. The Bible says that they were tempted. That means they were enticed and scrutinized and disciplined, probably in a very cruel manner to try and get them to deny their faith. But they didn't. Some were slain with the sword. Isn't it interesting that verse 34 says they escaped the edge of the sword? And then we come down to verse 37 and it says they were slain with the sword. And yet there's a common bond between the two. What is the common bond? Faith. By faith, some were delivered, but by faith, some said, I won't accept deliverance if it means denying my faith, and I'm going to stand for truth. Faith. Trust in God. Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 18. The Bible tells us. It says that some were destitute, afflicted, and tormented, and wandered about. Though some were not killed, they didn't enjoy the pleasures of this life. They lived a very impoverished life and suffered for their faith. Destitute means to be inferior, to fall short, to lack, or to suffer need. Afflicted means to suffer tribulation or trouble. And tormented means to maltreat, to suffer adversity. And our text says they wandered about with little. Why did they do that? Because they said, this world isn't our home. We're looking beyond. We're looking for a better city. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And if standing for truth and righteousness in this life means that we're going to be persecuted and shunned and pushed out of the city and not receive the wealth of this world, we're willing to do that. We're willing to suffer for our God because we trust Him who does all things well. Some proclaim today that if you love God and follow Him, you'll be wealthy and healthy. But the Bible says here that some wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins and they were destitute. Doesn't sound like they had a real easy life, does it? Was their faith a problem? Well, not according to this whole chapter. It's all about faith. And yet, in their trust of God by faith, God's plan for their life was not a life of wealth. It was not a life of convenience. It was not a life of luxury. But still, they said, I'm going to trust God. That's different than Abraham, whose wealth was great. But these, by faith, said, I'm willing to live this kind of life if that's what God has for me. Many of God's servants have had less than the best living conditions. We find in 2 Kings 1, when we're introduced to Elijah, that it talked about Elijah. He was a rough-looking guy with a leather girdle and fed by ravens later on in his life, fed by a widow. Widows are very poor, impoverished people. Elijah didn't have a luxurious life. We read in Luke chapter 16 about a man whose name was Lazarus. Lazarus was a beggar. His body was full of sores. He begged for his very existence. And yet, Jesus says to us that when he died, the angels came and carried him into Abraham's bosom. Showing to us that he lived by faith. And so we recognize that there's difference, isn't there? God had a plan for some of these people to not live in the luxury of this life. And yet by faith, they said, we're going to trust in God. Jesus, our Savior, was born in a stable, in a manger. He lived in a carpenter's home, not a palace. He said of himself that he had not where to lay his head. The luxuries of this life, though as enjoyable as they are not always what God has for us. See, what are you saying? God doesn't look after His children? Oh, yes, He does. He looks after His own. Sometimes it may be one meal to the next, as Elijah and Elisha, who lived that kind of life, and Elijah particularly fed by a widow whose barrel of oil doesn't seem ever overflowed, but it never emptied. But God looked after them. But He doesn't guarantee great wealth, and so He says in 1 Timothy 6, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. And down through history, from the beginning of God's Word into our modern day, many of God's people have suffered for their faith. Read that little booklet that we have several of around the church here, The Trail of Blood. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read The Martyr's Mirror. Look at the history of God's people. Sometimes it has not been an easy life. Some have given their lives of others who've lived in difficulty and suffering. And then we read in the Word of God of such as Paul, who we read about his life in 2 Corinthians 11. Read it sometime. I mean, he was beaten. He suffered shipwreck. He went through all kinds of things. But he said in 2 Timothy 4:8, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. See, it's the same faith that brings about great accomplishments also brings about incredible peace and strength in the midst of less than desirable circumstances. And in speaking about comfort, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. I believe that we reading in Hebrews chapter 11 here, our text for this morning, we would have to recognize that sometimes, as the saying goes, God calms the storm for the child. And sometimes He calms His child in the midst of the storm. Faith. Faith is trusting God. Faith is trusting God come what may. God hath not promised skies always blue, as the poet wrote. But God has promised His grace sufficient for each day. See, the faith of these who we've read about this morning was great enough to trust God in the storm, even though they weren't delivered. Now, I don't know about you, but I marvel at that faith almost more than the faith that moves mountains and the faith that parts the Red Sea. It's an incredible faith that sustains a person to trust God in the midst of great difficulty. I think many of us have a wimpy faith today, if I can use that term. A faith that says, oh, I'll trust God as long as I have this kind of life. As long as everything goes well. I'm trusting God. But what we read this morning is it takes faith to say, I'm trusting God even though it's not like the way I like to see it. Because don't make any mistake about it, those who we've read about this morning would have liked a rosy life. Because that's human nature, we all do. But by faith they trusted in their God to do all things well. We know it's a great thing. We read at the end of the chapters. We have our text this morning in Hebrews 11. And we've looked at some things and some great things that we look at here this morning. And it's just a marvelous, wonderful thing. No faith goes unnoticed in the sight of God. Though man may narrowly look upon it and think, how foolish not to accept deliverance when it's offered. How foolish not to just accept an easy life rather than trusting God in the midst of a trial. How foolish, but no. See, faith is not always rewarded here. Heaven is still heaven, and earth is still earth. Our text tells in verse 39, it says, these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. A good report. But they didn't have the sea parted. They didn't escape the edge of the sword. What do you mean they obtained a good report? God saw their faith and He said, there's a faith. There's a real faith. There's a true faith. God says that is a good faith. Others may have wondered about it. Said if they were trusting God, why weren't they delivered? But God, who was the object of their faith, said, they trusted me. I love those words in parentheses in verse 38. Oh, don't miss those. See what it says, of whom the world was not worthy. What powerful words. Of whom the world was not worthy. They were persecuted. Yes, God says the world wasn't worthy of their existence. Well, they were made fun of. They were mocked. People looked down on them and says, how foolish. God said the world wasn't even worthy of those people. Because their faith and trust was so great in God. What a statement. Though the world may have thought them foolish, God said the world wasn't even worthy to be in their presence. You see, they had chosen rather to say, I'd rather hear God's well done than the applause of the world any day. The world was not worthy of them, and they obtained a good report in God's eyes. Remember, it's God who sees the heart. He sees those who have trusted Him by faith. He sees the faith of those who live for Him. And though the Bible tells us that they did not receive the promise, they obtained a good report through faith. They didn't lack faith, although they didn't see what they may have wanted to see of the promise. Does it mean God let them down when they didn't receive the promise? No. He has not, and He cannot fail to fulfill His promises. But despite their great faith, they didn't live to see the coming of the Messiah. You see, that was really the object of their faith, wasn't it? In God. That God would send the Deliverer whom He'd been promising since the foundation of the world. They anticipated in their day. They didn't see it. But their faith wasn't disappointed. They met Him when they passed on from this life. But in this life, they did not obtain the promise. The one who they believed in, they believed would come, didn't come before the end of their life, but they continued to trust God by faith. Their faith carried them through, despite the fact that they didn't see its completion. You see, the Bible says that God, having provided some better thing for us, there was a better time. I'm sure in their day, as sometimes we look as we struggle sometimes in our lives, and we say, oh, but the Lord is coming back, and He may come back today, and He may indeed come back today. But we struggle through, and He may not come back in our lifetime, but we keep looking to Him to come and trust Him. But His timing is perfect. His timing was perfect in the coming of Christ to this earth to be our Savior, and His timing will be perfect in the coming of Christ to catch us to glory one day. They would have loved to see the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah, but that was left for another time. A time that Galatians chapter 4 tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. In the fullness of time, in the perfect time, God sent the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They didn't see it, but we get to look back and say, He did fulfill His promise. And so the author of Hebrews says, God, having provided some better thing for us, we do get to see it. We did get to see it. We look back and we have the history of it. They saw the coming of Jesus, those who lived at the time of Christ. We have the record of His coming. We know He came and provided that salvation for us. And we recognize, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, that the prophets who prophesied looking for the Messiah were actually ministering to us. And those things that the angels desire to look into, we get to have a part of that. We get to understand it because we can look back on it and see it took place. Oh, how often we get impatient waiting for God to fulfill His promises. But may these whom we read about this morning be a testament to us and a testimony to our hearts this morning to keep trusting God, even though we may not see the fulfillment of what we expected in this life. Their faith in God did not diminish. He is not slack concerning His promise, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, ours is to continue to trust Him like they did, recognizing that His way is perfect, His timing is perfect. And we don't know the times and the seasons, but He does. Do you see what it says at that very last phrase of our text this morning? That they, without us, should not be made perfect. Perfect means complete. We complete them in the sense because they prophesied of the coming of Christ and we have seen its fulfillment. The full picture is known. The promise was made. They trusted its fulfillment and we have seen the fulfillment of their prophecy and promise. They are a great example to us, but we see the fulfillment of their faith in the Savior who came. Won't it be a great time in heaven? When those of us who look back get together with those who look forward and we're all assembled around the throne of grace. What a time it will be. that they, without us, should not be made perfect. See, it wasn't God's time then, but God's time did fully come. And they trusted Him until the end. Yes, the accomplishments of faith are great. Amazing things are accomplished by faith. And we looked at those over this last while in Hebrews chapter 11. The dead are raised and mountains are moved and seas are parted. But there are also some incredible things that are accomplished by faith. There's those who are willing to suffer for Christ in this world. Those who stay true to Him despite being offered freedom from oppression if they would just renounce their faith. But their faith says, no, I'm not going to deny God. Faith's accomplishments are incredible, thinking of remaining faithful through the trials of this life. Trusting that God has something better ahead and that this world is not the end of our faith. See, if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. But Christ has risen from the grave and we look forward to that day in eternity with Him. The question is this morning, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the beginning of faith. It's the beginning of that new life. See, I don't understand how people could live their lives like that. I don't understand how people could have that trust in God. Well, it begins with trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Christian, for us who know Him, ours is to trust Him by faith. Don't say, I'll trust God if He delivers me. Be like the Hebrew children who said, I'll trust Him, but if He doesn't deliver me, I'll still trust Him. Be like Job who said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. To say, God, I don't know what the outcome is. I don't know what the end is. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know You hold tomorrow and I'm going to trust You. I'm going to live for You. I'm going to do what You want me to do because I'm trusting You with my life. Trust God. You may see amazing things done. You may see mountains moved. You may see storms cease, but it may just be that in the midst of the storm that you still go through, you know the peace of God and the sustenance that God provides. It may be in the midst of the famine that God will be there providing that next meal, maybe by the ravens or maybe by some widow woman who provides your needs. But don't give up on God. Trust Him by faith with your life. Regardless of the outcome here, realize that God sees your faith. And though people may say, well, if they were trusting God, I know this would take place and this would happen. If you know in your heart that you're trusting God and living for Him and doing what is right in His eyes, just leave Him with the results of your faith. As these did. You see, some incredible things take place when we trust God by faith.